And welcome to Thanks for Participating. If this is your first time joining us, I'd like to welcome you. I think I already said welcome, but I'd like to also thank you. I'm talking to you, dear listener. You opened this episode and decided to give it a shot at listening, and I sincerely appreciate it. I can't speak for Sydney, but I'd venture to say she probably appreciates you as well.
Yeah, I think you could speak for me on that matter.
If you didn't piece that together, I am Josh, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host slash spousal equivalent.
Oh my gosh.
Sydney.
Oh my gosh.
This is the show where Sid and I force each other to participate in all of the things that we might separately enjoy, sometimes try new things together, and hope we find common interests along the way. Sydney.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to think that I'm getting better at introducing our podcast.
That was definitely a very creative opening.
Well, that is one of the compliments you've ever given me.
Well, Josh, it's been a while since we've done this, but what are you drinking this episode?
I am drinking, you know what? I'm going to get real specific because the name of the drink is called a Rocket or The Rocket. And I can't remember what was in it because you picked it up on the way home. So let me pull it up. It is a Mountain Dew-based novelty soda because if you didn't know, listeners, we are from Utah. And Utah has, at this point, become synonymous, at least to Utahns, with the concept of dirty sodas.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I feel like a bunch of out-of-staters, like, freak out about that aspect of Utah. Like, you have so many soda shops and stuff. And I don't feel like it's, like, a horrible idea, especially if most of us aren't drinking coffee or alcohol. Like,
yeah, I think
it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it's funny because about a year ago, I got sent to, a work conference kind of thing, like a leadership seminar with people from all over the country. And whenever I would introduce myself to like people from the East Coast or something, and they'd be like, oh, you're from Utah? And I'd be like, yeah, the first thing they'd ask me without like any hesitation was, is it true that there are so many soda shops everywhere? And I'm like, yeah, it is true.
It used to be, you're from Utah? How many wives do you have?
Yes.
And now it's, do you put coffee creamer in your soda?
Yeah, and I did, like, get asked a couple of times how many, not, like, at this, like, worst work conference specifically, but, like, you know, before the soda shops, like, made the rounds on the internet, like, people would ask me how many wives my dad has, and it's
you're like,
one
that I know of.
No, I think I would know, and the fact that my dad is very outspoken on how much he hates polygamy.
Okay. So, to answer your question, I am drinking a Mountain Dew with raspberry, coconut, blackberry, and vanilla cream.
That was the way that you said it, for sure.
I tried to make it fancy to match the fanciness of the beverage. I don't know if anyone's ever described a Mountain Dew as fancy. Did you see that guy on TikTok who made, I think it was mead, out of Mountain Dew?
I did not.
Well, that is a thing that he did.
All right.
Okay, what are you drinking, Sydney?
I am drinking the Jolly Elf, which is, I think, Mountain Dew and passion fruit. And, sorry, I'll start that again without, like, holding.
I have it up here, if you want me to tell you.
Yeah, Mountain Dew, passion fruit.
Strawberry puree.
Ooh.
And fresh orange.
Okay.
How are you enjoying it?
It's pretty good.
Cool.
Sorry, I just got an email from my broker.
What the heck is a broker?
I mean, I guess technically it's a website because I'm just using like Charles Schwab, but like a broker is like someone or like a software that like trades stocks for you.
Have you invested in stocks?
Well, yeah, I have an IRA.
I think I also have an IRA. I think it was a 401k and then like the company that it was with. I don't know how any of this works because it was like through my job 5 years ago that I don't work for anymore. And I think that company was purchased and then that they like divested or something. And like over the process, it like rolled over into a Roth IRA instead of a 401k or something along those lines.
Yeah. Like, so mine used to be a 401k at my job also 5 years ago. And then when I quit, it paid me out a check and I had to put it in an IRA if I didn't want to be charged the taxes. So I did. But because I only have like several hundred dollars in there, like it's not very much. And so it's not enough to like get put in like one of the mutual funds or like the automatic like brokerage things. So I have to do the trading myself. I'm not very good at it, but I'm doing my best.
Gotcha. Does your broker help you?
Not really.
Then what's the point?
Well, they're just like the vehicle by which I invest.
Okay.
Like, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It's just like the service that I use to do the investing instead of like, you know, being on Wall Street myself and like trading it.
Gotcha.
I have thought about getting into investing a little bit though, like maybe with like $50 or something here or there.
I hear NFTs are a surefire way to get rich quick. So
no.
All right. You shot that on that idea. I get it. This isn't a safe space to collaborate.
Not if you're a finance bro.
Well, enough chit chat. And it's time to chat some shit instead. We are going to be discussing something that I recently introduced Sydney to that had shocking, at least to me, results. And that, my friends and listeners who I may or may not have had the opportunity to make acquaintance with, is The Legend of Zelda, specifically The Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I will say it has been a little shocking to me too, because spoiler alert, I really like it, but I've just never really been into video games, and I've like tried a couple of times, like I guess not, like when we were younger, you know, we had like Mario Kart and Rock Band, and like, you know, Rock Band was my game, that's what I did. But, like, we also had, like, you know, Lego Indiana Jones and, you know, like, a couple of other games. And I would, like, play them a little bit, but I just, like, never really got into them. But I've really been enjoying Legend of Zelda. Kind of reminds me of, like, some of the computer games that I used to play when I was younger.
What computer games did you play?
That's a great question.
Did you ever play, like, Oregon Trail?
No. I don't know, like...
Pop Tropica.
Yeah, Pop Tropica. I don't know. I just have like images of like someone. Oh, there was like a RuneScape. I think that's what it was called.
That sounds familiar, but I don't know
okay,
what that is.
Okay, let me look it up. Yeah, I think this was it. It was called RuneScape. I would play that. My best friend and her brother introduced it to me, and we would play that together. I remember there was one day sitting in the basement where we were all like making accounts or something, and we spent literally like an hour trying to set up my friend's account, and not even just like trying to set it up, like just trying to get a password in there because she would like mistype the like password and then you have to like retype it to confirm. And she would mistype it every time. And she went back and forth. It may not have been like a full hour, but it was like an unnatural amount of time, like at least 20 minutes. And we would, me and her brother were getting so frustrated, just like going back and forth, creating the password. That was just like such a random memory that I had. But yeah, like, yeah, just kind of the games where you can like run around and like do things, you know?
The games where you can run around and do things. I think there are quite a few games that fit into that description, Sid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my experience with Zelda, and I guess just video games in general, my first ever, like, video games, well, okay, going super far back. I think we've discussed this on, like, a bonus episode when we had Ryan from Sword of Star Wars podcast on. Oh, wait, that was just me. That was me when we did the Star Wars Day episode a couple years ago. But when I was really young, we had a neighbor that would let us borrow his like Super Nintendo when I was sick. And so there was like this zombie shooting game where you'd walk around and shoot zombies with water guns, I think. And that was it. I think maybe there was a Sonic game on there as well. But then I had a Game Boy SP and my dad got a Game Boy Advance roughly around the same time. And so I would play a couple games on there, mostly like Mario or I can't remember because I actually left the Game Boy, both my Game Boy and my dad's Game Boy, on the plane when we came back from Disneyland or Disney World or something. And they tried going back in having like right after, and it was just gone. And I think my dad might have had a Zelda game on the Game Boy Advance. I can't remember. But then a couple years later, I got a DS. And really, the only games I played on the DS were Legend of Zelda. There were two games specifically. One was called The Phantom Hourglass, which was the first game that I ever remember playing. The first ever Zelda game. And that one's really fun. It's like pirate themed. So most of your travel is on a boat and you go around. I think there's also another boat one called The Wind Waker, which is pretty popular, I think. But I haven't played that one. But it's fun that you like travel around and like most of the map are like islands in the water. And then you go around and then there's monsters in the water. So you have to like shoot them with cannons and stuff. And then another one is called Spirit Tracks, where you're traveling around by train. And so you have to like plan your route with the train tracks. And then like sometimes there'll be monster like trains that you have to. Anyway, it was fun. And then eventually when I was in high school, I think my family got a Wii. And I didn't play much. Like I'd occasionally play like Mario Kart or Super Mario Brothers with my younger siblings on the Wii. But like right at the end of high school, I got two Zelda games that you could play on the Wii. One of them was called Skyward Sword and the other one was called Twilight Princess. And any of those four games, like I would just play hours and hours and hours for days or weeks straight until I like beat the game. And I just found it so compelling that like the crux of like a Zelda game is puzzles and problem solving. And as a kid, I just found that so fun. You'd go and like every Zelda game kind of has the same basic formula where like Zelda goes missing or like you need to help Zelda to defeat the big bad. And a lot of the times the big bad is actually the same an iteration of the same character. I won't say too much more about it because you haven't gotten that far in the game yet. But then also like to like save the world. And then through the process, you have to like strengthen yourself and like power up. And you do that through the process of going through dungeons. And each dungeon has like bosses and stuff. And so it's just like this, I don't know, the whole like format I've always really enjoyed of like traveling around, exploring, going through dungeons and fighting monsters. But Breath of the Wild is very different format wise and like game mechanics wise.
Because it's like an open map, right?
Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you about that. I expected when I introduced this to you, because in December, for Christmas, you got me a Nintendo Switch. And I had previously played, when I got back from New York, my youngest brother had a Wii U, and he introduced me to the Breath of the Wild. And every time I'd go up and visit my parents on the weekend, we'd go down in the basement and he would watch me play Breath of the Wild for hours and hours and hours, like week after week after week when we'd go up there. And it was a ton of fun. And then the sequel came out earlier last year, which is called Tears of the Kingdom. And I played Tears of the Kingdom after Christmas when we got our own Switch. And the whole time I was playing Tears of the Kingdom, I'm like, I just feel like this is a game that Sydney would really enjoy. But it was for the dungeon, like problem solving puzzles aspect. And so when I introduced you to Breath of the Wild last week, you surprised me by how much you wanted to play it and how many hours you played it. But you still have not yet done a dungeon or really advanced the main storyline in any capacity.
No, I just like, I'm having fun just like vibing in the open map and just like living in the world and just running around. I'm doing shrines right now, which are fun. They're also like puzzle, but they're like short. Yeah, I guess
that's true. They're like little mini dungeons with puzzles.
I mean, like okay, here's the thing though. Like I never really played that many games growing up. Like I just was never really a gamer. And so like my abilities to like fight in the game are like not very good. And whenever I have like a combat shrine, I always just like pass it off to you and like make you do
that,
it.
That one time you tried like over and over and over again, at least like a dozen times.
Yeah. And then I just got frustrated and then I just didn't want to do it again. And so like, I mean, that's kind of the thing is like, I know I can like shoot deer and stuff. And I know I can like do the shrines for the most part. And so I just am enjoying that aspect of it, like where my skill level is. And I'm afraid to like really start the story because I don't want to have to like fight something like 20 times like I did with the one shrine, you know?
Yeah. So that's just interesting that you are enjoying it way more than I thought you would, but it is for completely different reasons that I expected you to enjoy it in the first place. You seem to be enjoying the open world nature, the open world aspect of the game way more than I expected you to. So when we started it, the first night, which was what, last Thursday or Friday, we made it through, I want to say half of just the tutorial. And then you were like, all right, I think I'm done for the night. And I was convinced that you weren't going to touch it again. But then we actually took it up to your parents when we went up there for the weekend. And we pulled like, what, almost two full all-nighters playing it?
Well, they weren't like all-nighters.
But like really late.
But we just, yeah.
Like till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't have a job right now. So I like kind of have that luxury, you know, but.
Mm-hmm. And then even when we drove back down to our place that same night, you turned Zelda back on and pulled like another almost all-nighter.
Yeah, but now I'm afraid to touch it again because I don't want to be up until like 3 or 4 in the morning playing video games. Like, I want to be productive.
You just set like a timer and be like, all right, I'll turn it on and I'll play it for half an hour. Or
yeah, the problem is like I'm very like mood-driven person. Like, I want to like do things that I'm like in the mood for, if that makes sense. And like, I'm very much that way when I like am eating. Like, I only want to eat things that I'm like craving. Like, I don't always want to try new things because I'm just like, well, I'm kind of craving like a bowl of pasta right now. I would rather eat pasta than like try something new. And I'm like the same way with like things to occupy my time. So it's like, once I get started on that, like, I'm going to be in the mood to like keep playing it, and I'm going to want to keep playing it. And then it's like hard to like get myself to like wind down for bed and stuff. And so I'm like afraid to start it up again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Well, yeah, you get that because you're always trying to get me to like try a bite of your food. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to because I'm like not in the mood.
Yeah. One thing that I think is really funny is how many times while you were playing and I was watching you that you would turn to me and be like, this can't be fun for you.
I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to sit and watch someone play video games. In fact, when I think of the worst dates that I've ever been on, there are two that come to mind. And one of them was in high school, this guy and I, like my friend was really into this guy and they wanted me to double date with their friend because that was the only way that they were going to be able to go on a date with the guy. And so I went with them and the first part of it was like fun. We played tennis and stuff and it was great and whatever. And then we went back to my date's house and then just watched his brother play Skyrim for like an hour. And so it just like is not fun for me to watch people play video games at all. And so I don't know. It's just weird that you like to sit there and watch me do it because I'm like, I would be so bored. Like, I would just be pulling out a book and like reading it while you play and like occasionally maybe watch a little bit, but it's not something I would want to do for hours like you do. But then I guess like, you know, people make their whole careers off of like people just wanting to watch them stream on Twitch or something. And so it's just a weird concept to me.
Yeah. I can't explain why it's so, because even like if I turn on a movie or a TV show, like occasionally I'll get bored and pull out my phone. But like when I'm watching you play Zelda, I never really have that urge to like pull out my phone or do something else because I'm just so invested in it. And then even like the past couple of days you haven't played and I'm just like itching to watch you play. Like, I'm not itching to play myself. I'm just like, oh man, we got to turn it back on. And it's just so fun. I think partly because it's something that I really enjoy. I think it goes back to kind of the whole aspect or like premise of the show when I was thinking, like when we came up with this like show idea, was a lot of people like, I'm sure a lot of people can relate that we wish we could experience something that we love again for the first time, and we can't. Like, you can never have that first experience. But, like, the closest thing is watching someone else experience it for the first time, especially someone that you, like, really love and care for. And so I think that's part of it, is just, like, seeing your experience step by step every second of the game, like, seeing how you react, seeing what decisions you make, seeing what drives you in the game, what kind of motivations you have, and just your play style. I just think it's so fun, so interesting. And I even joked about it at work that I told them, like, yeah, my wife is insistent that it's not fun for me, and I have to tell her, no, Sid, this is my dream, is to sit and watch you play Zelda. Like, I promise I'm not bored. I wouldn't rather be doing anything else. I just love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that does make sense if it was something that you were really invested in, because I'd never played Skyrim before, and I still haven't, and after that date, I never want to. And so for me, it just, like, wasn't fun at all. But I could see, like, you know, if it were something like Zelda and, like, watching, like, you know, making my sister or something play it for the first time and watching her play it. I don't know. I still feel like I would have fun for, like, maybe 20 minutes, but then I would just get bored and want to, like, read a book right next to her while she does it, you know?
That being said, I think, like, yeah, what's a game you like? Plants vs. Zombies. If you turned on Plants vs. Zombies on the TV or something, I don't imagine that I'd be able to sit very long and watch you. So
that's another thing that we should do. You should play Plants vs. Zombies. That's the only game that I've ever beat.
All right.
And I've beat it twice.
Okay, I have some, like, talking points to discuss. Okay. About the game that I'm curious about. So I think we already kind of discussed that so far you like kind of the exploration, or just like the vibes, like existing in the world of Hyrule and then just getting to, like, do the fun things that come along with being in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes sense that the things that might have more of a sense of urgency are things that you don't care about or don't like as much, like the combat or the main plot. But I'm curious, like, what are some of, like, the game mechanics that you enjoy the most? Like, if that makes sense. Like, the climbing, cooking, collecting.
Yeah, I mean, one thing for me is, like, the collecting and, like, the cooking and stuff. I like that. I like hunting the shrines. And then I do like most of the shrines, how there's, like, the puzzle aspect of it. Because I do like puzzles a lot. And so, like, I think that's it for me. Like, those are the kinds of things that I like. I like the things that, like I said, the things that are, like, you know, possible for me at my skill level that are just easy. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like Plants vs. Zombies, because it's, like, a really, really easy game. It's not something that you have to have, like, any skill to do. And that's kind of probably why I'm avoiding the main quest with Zelda, because I like playing it for, like, the escapist aspect of it, but I don't want to have to do something that I'm going to have to practice for.
One thing that I think the developers of Zelda, especially Breath of the Wild, do really well is they make it so that players can customize it to their playstyle and their skill level. And what I mean by that is, like, there's kind of like a standard difficulty for the story and for the quests and the monsters that you face, but you kind of have the ability to make it more or less difficult for yourself. And if you ever watch, like, there's a whole basically industry of speed running where people try to beat a game from beginning to end as fast as possible. And I think the world record for Breath of the Wild is like under an hour.
You're kidding. That's so fast.
Like 20 minutes or something, like insane. And the reason is because they figure out, like, part of it is they figure out glitches. Like, you can glitch through walls and, like, get to certain aspects of the game that previously you'd have to have unlocked somewhere else. But if you can just figure out a glitch to, like, get through the wall, get what you need in there, and then keep going. And then on also how to, like, move way faster than you're supposed to be able to move and things like that. So it's just, if you watch a speed run recording, it's just like, you're like, what the heck? Like, what is going on? They just figured out all these glitches and how to, like, hack the system basically to move as fast as possible. But then also the other part is they're super, super skilled. So in the Breath of the Wild, they, like, cheat their way to get through that tutorial phase as fast as possible. And then they don't do anything else. They immediately go to the final thing and just beat the boss. Because, and like you only have 3 hearts, so you really can't take a hit, but they're good enough to like at the combat, like they have the skills necessary to like beat the monster. However, the developers know that like you don't need to have that skill level in order to have fun playing the game and beating the game. And so part of the way that you make it easier for yourself is leveling up, like getting armor, like increasing the number of hearts you have by beating shrines, making sure that you're more prepared to go into a fight by having lots of food and lots of potions that like give you certain effects. So that like even if you are really crappy at the actual like fighting aspect of the game, like you have all of these handicaps that you've given yourself to like you can take hits one after the other and you can just keep like healing yourself with the food and stuff, or you can keep upgrading your armor so that when they hit you it doesn't deal as much damage and things like that.
Right. Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. This is where I'm just like gathering things, figuring it out, and moving forward.
What about the like the story and characters so far? I know you haven't really done much of the story since the tutorial. You did go to Kakariko Village and talk to Impa, and you've gotten like some lore and background story through like a couple of cutscenes. But like, are there any aspects of the story that stand out or interest you in any way?
Not really. I'm not in it for the storyline.
That's so funny.
Like, I don't know. Maybe if I, like, play it more. But, you know, like I said, I just like the open world aspect of it and kind of running around and just, like, gathering things and stuff. And I think, like, you know, that game RuneScape that I brought up, I didn't really play it, like, a whole ton. And I don't really remember much about it. But I do remember that I was just kind of doing, like, a similar thing where I was just running around and, like, gathering up stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think Zelda's voice actor is kind of annoying, and I get kind of annoyed at the cutscenes. Like, I'm gonna be honest. Like,
you can always skip them if you really don't want to like sit and watch them. I really enjoy like the lore and stuff, but you can always like push like X or something and it just skips it, so you never have to sit and watch it.
Yeah, I'm not really like interested in like extended cutscenes because I kind of just want to like run around and do stuff, you know. So
yeah, whenever there's a cutscene, you can always skip it. Even the Blood Moon like cutscene, you can skip that.
Beware the Blood Moon. Beware the Blood Moon.
Beware the Blood Moon, Link.
There you go.
The other night, for some reason, we were so tired, but we were just trying to say Beware the Blood Moon in as many different accents as we could.
Yeah, turns out I can do 0 accents.
You can do a Scottish accent, but only when you say 1,000 miles or whatever.
I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. Just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles right to there. Fall down just at your door.
That specific syllable, the 1,000, like, I don't know. It's probably not even good to listeners who know a Scottish accent. Oh, can you hear the sirens?
That's what happens when you live next to a hospital.
Mm-hmm. All right, I know that you specifically don't like the old man king ghost character at the beginning of the game.
I don't know. I it isn't even that I like specifically don't like him. I just was kind of irritable that night, and yeah. He was just like popping up everywhere.
Yeah, every time he showed up, you're like, this guy again? Ugh, I want to kick his ass. Are there any characters that you've met that you feel differently toward?
What do you mean by feel differently?
That you aren't as annoyed by, or that you think are interesting characters, or... I mean, you haven't really interacted with characters much. Mostly they're like random NPCs that you find.
Yeah, I don't know. Impa was kind of interesting. What's the one character that everyone supposedly thirsts over?
The Zora Prince. I forget his name.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of interesting, even though I completely ignored the quest. I would do the quest if I felt like I could beat the guy at the end, but I don't think I can, and I don't want to try. So
the other part is you can do the quest up until the part where you have to beat the guy, and then you can straight up leave. So you can do the whole dungeon and the puzzles and stuff, and then the last bit of the puzzle is, oh, you have to beat this big monster. And if you're not ready to beat him, you can leave, and you can go somewhere else, and you can get as many potions and food and armor and stuff. And
hearts.
Or just whatever you want. You're just like, I don't want to beat him right now. I'll go do something else for 20 more hours. And then when you're ready, so like, you can play the game however you want, and you can just straight up walk out of the room if you don't want to beat the monster. So,
okay, maybe that's what I'm doing tonight.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I'd love to watch you. Because that's one thing is like, I wanted to at least try one of the, so there's like the main dungeons are called Divine Beasts, which I've kind of pointed out, like the salamander looking thing that climbs on the volcano. And there's like a bird looking thing that flies in the air. And I've kind of pointed them out like, oh, you see that on the horizon? That's a Divine Beast. And you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I wanted you to at least attempt or start one of them before we recorded the podcast. But like, because I was just like, I just don't feel like we'll have enough to talk about if you haven't like, but like, I think we'll still manage to find interesting things to discuss, even though you haven't actually started much of the main story.
Okay.
I just had another thought. Oh, one thing that I was just so worried about when I introduced the game to you was I'm like, I just have like a feeling deep in my heart that you'll like it, but I'm so scared that you won't like it or that you'll find it boring. So I feel like there have been several times where I'm overcompensating trying to help you not be bored, where I'm just like giving you too much input. And then I'm like, oh, I should just like shut up because I'm probably so annoying, where I'm trying to like help you make decisions or things. And I'm like, oh, I should just like let her figure this out herself, or I should just like let her do whatever she wants. And so I'm just like scared that you're going to be too bored, but then I'm scared that I'm going to help you not be bored and it's going to be annoying. And so.
Yeah, I have noticed that you just... at least at first, you were like very anxious. And I think, you know, it's like a vulnerable thing to a certain extent to like introduce someone to something that is like very dear to you and like hoping that they'll enjoy it just as much as you do. And so, like, I could tell you were like a little stressed about it, especially since like I was so hesitant. Not like hesitant, but I had just been like putting off like playing it and like wasn't like really interested in like starting it ever. So I could tell that you were like anxious about it a little bit and you were just like butting in like a lot. And it was like starting to get a little bit to the point where I was like, okay, Josh, like take a step back. Like, I'm okay. I'll let you know when I want help. But like, I don't know. You were also very self-aware and kind of like pulled yourself back before I had to say anything.
Yeah. Like if you ever need me to say less, I will not be offended if you just be like, okay, shut up for a little bit. Like, but then at the same time, if you're ever like starting to get frustrated or confused and you would like hints or like any input, or like if you're like, well, I don't really know, like I've kind of finished what I want to do here, I'm not really sure what to do, and you just want ideas of like where to go, like you can always ask me. But I hope that I can continue to watch you and we can have fun doing that together.
Okay. You did ask me earlier what games I used to play. And there was one that I actually played a lot that I really liked. It's called Toontown. It was like a game that Disney put on.
I remember seeing ads for that, like commercials on, I guess it was Disney Channel or Nickelodeon or something. And I mean, if it was done by Disney, it was probably Disney Channel. But it was always like, go to this website, make sure you have parent permission to access the internet or anything. And I just never had parents' permission to access the internet.
Yeah, I used to play it a lot when I was younger. And then Disney, a few years ago, like shut down the whole site. But it was like so beloved that someone like recreated it or like had saved it or like something and like re-uploaded it on like a different site under a different name. And I've seen my brother play it like the last couple of years. And so maybe I should get back into it because it was a fun game.
All right. Another question I had about Zelda. What do you think about the art style and like the atmosphere of the game?
I didn't really look too closely at it. It just kind of seemed like standard video game kind of style. It is cool, though. Like, I do like the aesthetics of it and like the atmosphere. I do. I will say, as much as I like pooped all over cutscenes earlier, I do think it's cool how in the cutscenes they incorporate like a lot of East Asian art. I know you said that like the games are made in Japan, and so it makes sense that they would have like an East Asian influence. But I don't know. I guess I feel like I have a special place in my heart for East Asian culture. I just really think it's beautiful and like it a lot. So that was one of the things that I did like.
Yeah, like for sure, it's developed in Japan, so it's going to have Japanese influences. But I think specifically, they like draw from different cultural influences for different aspects of the like game, like specifically different regions. So far, you've only been to one village, and that was Kakariko Village. And that one specifically leans on Japanese influence.
That makes sense.
A lot of the character design kind of is reminiscent of like Japanese style kimonos and robes and things.
And like the houses that they had there as well. It was very,
for sure,
very Japanese.
I just looked it up and it says their town, Kakariko, shows Japanese style through the Shinmei Zukuri style with Tori and Shimanawa strings. Additionally, their ancient technology draws from Japanese art history with the shapes and intricacies of the vases, shrines, and rope designs. So though the ancestors, like, so those, like, race of people are called Shika, and they're the ones that are like more technologically advanced, and they're the ones that built the shrines and like the little slate that you have.
Right. So is Link and Zelda, are they Shika as well?
No. They are. Well, actually, that's a good question, because there's like, it's Zink and Zelda. Link and Zelda are frequently referred to as Hyruleans. They're from Hyrule. But I think Hyrule is just like the general name of like the kingdom that all of those regions are a part of.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. I know that there's a different village called Hatino Village, and I think that is where Link is from. If it's not where he's from, it's where he eventually lives in the lore of the game.
Gotcha. So the different villages are like based on different East Asian cultures then?
Not necessarily all East Asian. I'm not actually sure because, oh, here's the Hylians, Gerudo, and Shika. So Hyruleans is everybody in Hyrule. But then there's also Hylians, which are people descended or that like worship the goddess Hylia or Helia. And I think that's what Link and Zelda are. Are there Hylians and the Shika are something different.
Gotcha.
But then there's also other races of creatures. Like there's the Zora.
Right.
There's also Gerudo. They're kind of like desert dwelling people. And what's interesting is that the Gerudo are only women. It's like illegal for men to like be in their village.
That's my kind of village.
And they're like real. They're like kind of a, I think it's like draws on like Middle Eastern influences maybe. But then also I don't know how they procreate because a male is only born every century or 100 or couple hundred years or something weird.
I think this is just a side note, but they just figured out how to like synthesize like a developed embryo with two eggs instead of like an egg and a sperm.
Whoa.
So men, watch out. Your days are numbered. Women have evolved to no longer need you.
There's also the Gorons, which are kind of rock creatures that live in and around the volcano.
Okay.
The Zora are like the kind of the fish people. And then there's also bird people, but I forget what they're called. And they live kind of in the snowy mountains. Well, they live in the snowy mountains of Tears of the Kingdom, but then eventually like the snow goes away, but they live kind of on the northwestern part of the map.
Gotcha.
Are there any memorable moments in the game so far? Like things that happened or like story points that are memorable to you?
You know, it's hard to answer that question because I really, you know, kind of like we mentioned, I haven't gotten that far in the story. I did like getting a horse. That was memorable. I named my horse Pinto Bean. He is my favorite.
And then you accidentally set Pinto Bean on fire.
He's fine, though. And we're besties now.
Yeah. So many times you're just like, man, Pinto Bean's a great horse. Like,
he is. He's such a good horse.
What are your other horses? You've got a couple other ones. What are their names?
Cow.
Cow. Solid name.
Yeah, it's the same logic of like my parents have a cat named Mouse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have a horse named Cow. And there's another one. I can't remember what I decided to call him.
Oh, Bootstrap.
Bootstrap. That's right. Because you named him.
Yeah.
I will say my favorite horse name, though, was the one that I gave your horse in Tears of the Kingdom, which is, it was a white horse and he named it Shimogwei. And like a Gui is ghost in Chinese. And Shamook Wei is like kind of like a, how do you describe it? It's like a, it's like an exclamation kind of.
Yeah, literally it means what ghost, but it's kind of like what the heck.
Yeah.
Or like if something happened, you're like, Shamook Wei is like, what the heck? That's my best way to describe it. But I had another horse. For some reason, I wanted to name a horse after Stannis Baratheon, which is a character from Game of Thrones, which isn't even like a good character. I just think that that would be a good name for a horse. Like, it's not even like
Baratheon.
I mean, he's kind of a like pivotal character to the series, but not one that like I feel like most audience people would like latch onto as a character they get attached to. I just think that Stannis Baratheon would be a good name for a horse in Zelda, but you are limited to like a certain number of characters. So
it's nine. You're limited to 9 characters, which is not that much.
I know. So I shortened it to Stanny B, and that was my favorite horse.
That's where that came from.
Yeah, Stanny B is Stannis Baratheon. And then I can't remember what my other horses are because I mainly use that one in Shamook Wei.
Yeah, I just think Shamook Wei is so funny.
What do you think, or how would you rate so far the replay value of the game? Meaning, like, once you, I mean, this is also probably going to be hard to answer, but do you feel like after you finish the game or beat the game to a certain extent, that this is a game that you would come back to in the future and play again from the beginning?
Yeah, I think I might, just because the map is so huge. There's like so much that you can do and explore in like every single aspect of it. And that's like part of the reason why I haven't advanced the story that much, is because I'm just enjoying exploring like the areas that I'm in. And so like that's kind of one of the things, is that like if I replay it again, like there's more that you can do. Like there's always like more to explore and stuff. And so I think like that's one of the aspects of it that I'd be drawn back to, or like, you know, catch different horses or, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah, I remember the first, so like the in the tutorial, you're on a plateau. It's called the Great Plateau or something, and you're stuck up there until you get a paraglider. Then you can jump down safely. And when you first jump down, you landed in this region. And each time in the game that you go to a new region, you have to unlock the map data by going to a tower. And you had gone to one tower and unlocked the map data for that region. And then you just explored that region pretty thoroughly. And I was like, maybe do you want to try going to this next region? Like, follow the road to the next region and find a new tower? And you're just like, well, I just kind of want to keep exploring this little area I'm in. And I just don't think you had fully grasped how big the map was, that it was like one small region. And then I think you were kind of under the assumption that that was most of the map.
Yeah, that there would be like three or four regions, but there's like a lot. It's really big.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that in Tears of the Kingdom, the map is just as big, but then there's 3 tiers. There's the surface map, then there's the depths map underground, which is just as big because it's everywhere on the surface, but also a new map underground. And there's also a sky map, like islands and things floating in the sky that you need to explore.
That's just too much for me to handle right now. Like, that is so much.
So that was my other question, is what is your interest level in playing other Zelda games in the franchise?
I think I really like the open map aspect of it. So I'm definitely going to take my sweet time playing Breath of the Wild, and I'll eventually move to Tears of the Kingdom, but I don't know if I'd want to go back and like play anything before that, just because I really like the open map aspect of it. And I'm not sure I would like the other games that like don't have that open map concept.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Another question I had is about monsters so far in the game. What are monsters that you feel like you're able to fight, or like don't mind fighting? Which ones are you scared to fight, or like what's the biggest, scariest monster you've seen so far?
The guardians.
Oh yeah,
those things are scary. It reminds me of you know, the Incredibles.
Yeah,
when
literally,
they go to the island, like, yeah, it reminds me of like the monster that they send to basically kill Mr. Incredible, like the one that like keeps learning after defeating all the superheroes and stuff. Yeah, that's kind of what it reminds me of. And I'm not enjoying the Guardians, kind of just been like running away from those. But like so far, they've faced like the little goblin things and the choo-choos. And, like, the lizard guys and the skeletons and the rock monsters and then, like, the things that, like, jump up and shoot rocks at you. And I feel like I can handle all of those pretty well. Like, they're fairly easy to beat, which is kind of, like, what I like. Like, I'm not really big into, like, the combat and the stuff that, like, takes a lot to do. Mm-hmm. But I like, I don't mind those smaller ones. I kind of like fighting them.
Yeah. One thing, it's like the, as the monsters, like as you fight progressively bigger, stronger, scarier monsters, like the game rewards you with like proportionally, usually. That's like when you beat a monster, you like they drop weapons and you can pick up their weapons. You can pick up food that they might have been carrying. You can pick up their monster parts. And then with bigger monsters, they might be carrying stronger weapons. The monster parts that they drop might be more potent for elixirs or could sell at a higher price, things like that. So I think that's cool that like the game rewards you proportionally for doing like a little more challenging things.
Yeah, which like totally makes sense. I think I would be upset if I like beat a big monster and it didn't give me something cool, you know?
Yeah, I feel like Tears of the Kingdom, there were a couple of times where I'm like, I just spent so long beating this monster and it dropped like one amber, like gemstone. And it's like, wow, I could have found this just by breaking open some rocks.
Yeah, like I, and that's the aspect that I don't like is the spending a ton of time beating something. I like the quick reward kind of thing.
That's so interesting that you say that because at the same time, because I feel like you like to do things where there isn't the sense of urgency, sometimes you will spend a long time beating a monster that you could otherwise beat quickly. Specifically, like you'll stand high above a camp of monsters and you'll just throw a bomb and then they'll like the bomb will drop and they'll be confused and they'll all kind of gather in on the bomb to check it out and then you'll detonate it and they'll all go flying. But it will do like some damage. So you have to do it over and over and over again until finally you defeat them.
Yeah, but I don't mind like doing it that way because I know that like they're not going to find me. And right. So it's like a very safe way for me to.
It's so funny though.
To do it. It is kind of funny.
Because you throw a bomb and they all go check it out and then get blown up. And then you immediately throw another bomb and they go check it out. And you do it a dozen times in a row. And
every single
time. The monsters
time,
never figure out yeah, that it's dangerous.
They're always checking it out.
That's so funny. I had a couple other thoughts, but now I'm forgetting them. Are there any, I mean, again, you don't know much of the story, but are there any like predictions or things you're hoping to see or be able to do in the game as you continue playing? Like aspects of the game that you hope get expanded on as you keep playing?
I guess more of like the puzzle, like the problem solving and the puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
I just love puzzles.
I definitely think if you like the shrines and the puzzle nature of the shrines, you will really like the divine beasts and the dungeon nature of those. Even though like at the end of a dungeon, there is a boss that you need to fight, you don't have to fight the boss right then and there. So I would not, like, you can do whatever you want, but I wouldn't be afraid of trying the divine beasts if you like the shrines.
Okay.
Do you have any other thoughts about The Legend of Zelda : Breath of the Wild?
No, I feel like I've gotten out a lot of what I wanted to say.
Cool. My question then is, just like, I know that you have to be in the mood to play this, but like, is this a game that you would just turn on by yourself to play, like when I'm not home or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. I think, yeah, if I can figure out how to turn it on by myself.
It's pretty easy. You just push the on button and then turn the TV on and then go over to the Nintendo Switch on the HDMI input. So,
okay.
Yeah, because I was interested, like, is this something that you would pursue as your own independent hobby instead of me suggesting something that we would do it together? Or like even since the Switch is like a versatile console where you could either play it like as a console on the TV or you could take it somewhere as a handheld. Like, would that be something that you would ever do, is to take the Switch and play it handheld somewhere?
Right now, I'm not currently interested in doing it handheld. I like having it up on the TV. But we do have a pretty big road trip coming up, so maybe I'll like do it.
Oh yeah, for sure. We definitely need to take it on the road trip. Speaking of the road trip, I'm so excited. Hope we're crossing our fingers that we can make it work. There's still some logistics that need to happen in order to make sure we can go. But we are probably going to be driving to Texas in a couple weeks for the total solar eclipse. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and I grew up making this drive almost every summer, and Josh has never done it. So I'm just excited for him to experience the drive.
I know, we've gone to Texas together several times, but we've flown each time.
Yes, which is much preferred to driving, but driving is cheaper. So.
I don't know. I probably won't get stranded in Charlotte, North Carolina when we're driving this time.
Okay, that's fair. You had a really bad experience flying back. I've always had very pleasant experiences where like I like never have any issues with my flights, or like it's only delayed by a couple of hours or whatever. And, you know, I'm good. But for some reason, Josh got stranded in North Carolina for like 13 hours and by himself.
Yeah, it was like almost like 24 hours straight of just everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yes.
From like my flight being canceled while I'm at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, then like the gate agents just being unwilling to help me find a new flight, then to finding my own flight that connects from Dallas to North Carolina, then from North Carolina to Utah, and then the plane in Charlotte just being ridden with mechanical issues, and the maintenance was not able to figure it out. And then like they had trouble when they finally got it resolved, they had trouble with the FAA or the FFA?
The FAA.
Yeah, the FAA wouldn't let the flight leave the ground for some reason.
Oh man.
And then they had to send all of the crew home because they couldn't pay them overtime. So then we had to wait till for a new crew to come and be on the plane.
It was a mess.
It was ridiculous.
It was, yeah. And I felt bad because, like, you and I had gone down with my two of my siblings. And me and my siblings are on one flight, and you were on another flight by yourself. And so you got stuck with all of these issues and had to deal with it by yourself.
And my phone charger was in my checked luggage.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just didn't I'm like, oh, it's like how long is the flight from Dallas to Salt Lake City?
It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm like, I can go without a phone charger for 2.5 hours. I just didn't think that I'd be in this predicament. So I'm like in Charlotte, I'm like scared. I'm like, my phone's gonna die. I'm on the other side of the country from everybody. I also don't think I had money in like my wallet to like go buy a new charger or anything. And
yeah, so hopefully you learned your lesson about where to keep your phone charger when you're flying. Yeah.
It was also at the time when my phone had like the charging port had malfunctioned, stopped working.
Oh, that's right. So I could only charge use wireless
with a wireless charger. My goodness. So yeah, driving will be much preferred. Well, in that sense, flying is preferred in the sense that we don't have to drive 20 straight hours. But I'm also really worried that we're going to travel all that way to Texas and it's going to be completely overcast and we're not going to be able to see anything. Like, obviously, it would still get dark, which would be cool, but you won't actually get to see totality as the moon traverses the sun.
You've already seen it get dark from...
I haven't.
Yeah, you did. It like kind of got dark the last eclipse.
The Ring of Fire, like the annular eclipse.
Yeah,
it didn't really noticeably get dark. Like totality, like a total solar eclipse, it gets nighttime dark.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I mean, at the very least we get to see my family, so
cool. Final words, and then I think it's I'll turn the time to you to adjourn our episode.
My final words are that it's really not that weird to have a soda shop. It's actually kind of a cool idea. Oh. And this is coming from someone who hates soda, so
what is your just kind of overall impression of the game, and would you recommend it to someone who hasn't played it before or who, like you, doesn't have an experience with video games?
Yes, am enjoying the game a lot. I would recommend it. I feel like it's a good entry point for, like, people who aren't really into gaming, like me. Like, I'm not really into gaming, but I feel like it is just kind of one of those casual games where, like, you can just, like, run around and do your own thing if you want to, or you can, like, further the story if you want to, and it's really, it kind of feels like there's just something for everyone, and that is kind of a good entry point for people who haven't really done very many games or who aren't super interested in, like, hardcore gaming and stuff, that it's, yeah, I would recommend it for sure.
Is there any advice that you give a newcomer to the Legend of Zelda franchise?
Don't be afraid to Google.
All right.
You know, like, I don't know. I'm like the kind of person that doesn't want to spend too long on something. And that's probably why I've never really, like, played video games in the past. But, like, it's been nice having you by my side so I can, like, ask you questions if I, like, don't understand things or just kind of, like, get, like, quote unquote spoilers. Like, you're not any less of, like, playing the video game, like, if you want to do it with spoilers.
Yeah. It's funny that you bring that up on those games that I had on the DS. So, like, my dad loves Zelda 2, and he would sometimes, like, if I'd beat a game, he would borrow the game and play it on his, I think he also had a DS after I lost the Game Boys, and he would take it to work. He works as a truck driver, and on his breaks, or, like, while the loaders are loading his trailers, he would bust out his DS and play it. And sometimes he would borrow a game and he'd bring it back in a couple of days, like, beat it to completion. Like, same thing with, like, Lego. I think he played Lego Star Wars and Lego Harry Potter, and he'd bring it back 100% completion. I'm like, how did you do it that so fast? But because of that, he bought, like, walkthrough manuals for both of those games. They're like thick books where it's like, if you're stuck, you can literally open up to exactly that point in the game, and it shows you, like, pictures of, like, how to beat that puzzle or how to specifically fight this monster. And
thank
so
goodness for the internet, so we don't have to buy thick walkthrough manuals.
Yeah, you can literally just be like, oh, I don't know how to beat this shrine, and you just Google the name of the shrine, and you can see a YouTube video of someone doing it in, like, 60 seconds.
Or, like, a Reddit thread of, like, oh, just, like, do this.
Yeah, exactly. That's just so funny. I wonder if they probably don't have those books anymore, but that was just, like, a crazy memory that my dad bought Zelda. And what's funny is that, like, Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks are cartoon. Like, I mean, obviously Breath of the Wild is animated, but it's not, it doesn't look like a child cartoon animation. It looks right, like a very, like, not mature, but, like, all ages animation style. But Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks were Toon Link, so they were like a very short, childish Link, very comedic kind of art style. And it's just funny that my dad was playing these, like, kid games and, like, invested in these huge walkthrough manuals. That's just so funny.
Cool.
All right. I will let you close us out then.
This has been another episode of Thanks for Participating. I've been Josh, and he's been Sydney. And once again, thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram at Josh_is_rich and at DipYourChicken. Also, you could find the podcast at TFP_pod on Instagram and TikTok, and TFP_show on Twitter. You can also support the show by ordering some podcast merch. The link to our TeePublic store is in the show notes. You can send us mail to participating.podcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review the show on iTunes/Apple Podcast/Spotify. We will shout you out for giving us a review. Cover art is by Vaishon Brandon at Vaishon Designs on Instagram. Music by Mitch Fry at FireFry_ on Instagram, and Mitch Fry Music on YouTube. Thanks again for listening, everybody. It really does mean a lot to us. We love all our listeners, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. And as always, thanks for participating.
And also, thanks for not setting my horse on fire. All right. Talk to you next time.